You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for the week of December 22nd, 2023. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we live less than 2 miles from the tomb of the guy who knew exactly how to deal with insurrectionists, it's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Lincoln's tomb is right down the road here.
Right down the road. Right down the road.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he didn't let habeas corpus get in the way of winning the war against insurrection.
And as was mentioned yesterday on some social media platform, you know who wrote the 14th Amendment? Republicans wrote the 14th Amendment.
They were 1865 Republicans, though. They would be Democrats today.
But our Republican friends always, you know, we're the ones who are opposed to slavery. The Democrats, fine. If you want to go by the 1865 level of Republicanism,
right.
You guys wrote all
the 14th
those.
14th Amendment.
Yep. So
if you freed the slaves, then you wrote the 14th Amendment. So
shut up. No fair remembering.
You burned
stop.
Down the South.
Yeah, that's right. You burned down all the states you now occupy.
Yeah,
so
right.
Congratulations.
Right. Well, Driftglass wanted me to play some Joe Walsh, the musician Joe Walsh.
Right.
Rocky Mountain. What was
Way.
It?
Rocky Way. Mountain Way.
Rocky Mountain Way. So I'm a little worried that YouTube will ding us if I play too much of that song. So sing it in your heads.
Right.
It is a Rocky Mountain high we're all on right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start with a little bit of housekeeping. Just a reminder to everybody. Next week is the week before Christmas and New Year's. We will have one show, and we're going to record it and release it on Thursday. We're taking Boxing Day off.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be on Thursday. It will be what it is. We'll do a show. We want to thank all the listeners who have sent us Christmas cards, who've sent us holiday donations.
Pastries.
Oh, my gosh. Every year, pastries.
Uh-huh. Every year. They're so
and
good.
They are so good. And the chocolate cookie cake is still in the fridge. That isn't gone yet. The Stalin is all gone.
Somebody stole the Stalin. So,
it's
yeah.
all gone. It's all gone. We had that for breakfast 4 days in a row.
All gone.
So good. So, so good. And there are three listeners who wrote to us with donations and explanations for their donation mm-hmm. that I want to share with you. I'm going to share two now and one when we do the Internet Kitty. So first of all, Amy wrote us with a donation, and mm-hmm. she wrote us to say, in the tradition of chopping wood and carrying water, I worked the polls this past November for my municipal election, so I wouldn't go nuts worrying about the results. My intention was to prep for next year's general election and to use the proceeds to further the work. Your podcasts are the best investment I could make. And Amy sent us the money that she made working the polls and wrote, thanks again for keeping us sane out here. Thank you. Thank you, Amy. That was so sweet. And we are so proud of you. We are so proud of those of you who are working the elections, who are knocking on doors, who are doing postcards to voters, who are working the phones, doing texting, joining Moms Demand Action.
Petitions.
Whatever organization you're doing, registering voters, whatever you're doing to make our world a better place and work toward a better democracy for all of us. Whether Republicans appreciate it or not, we are working for all of us to have a vote. And I'm just grateful for you. So thank you for that.
I will say you and I were at that very P.O. box the other day.
Yeah.
And a certain local Republican who I know in his Trump windbreaker.
The guy who used to work for Mike Pence.
The guy who used to work for Mike Pence, in front of the post office, collecting signatures to get himself elected to whatever office he's running for. And, you know, we did not make eye contact. We did not speak to each other. We know what each other's about.
He's a little mishugy.
But he's out there doing the work.
Yeah.
He's out there in the cold.
He's doing the democracy thing.
He's getting
signatures to get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's not an insurrectionist. So,
Well, he's pro-insurrectionist.
Oy.
he's still a big pro-Trump guy, and, you know, Democrats are fools, and Biden's a lunatic. But, you know, here's the thing. He is out there in front of the goddamn post office on a cold winter's day.
Getting signatures
to get himself on the ballot. So so those of you who do that sort of thing, we do our version of that as well. Tip of the hat to you. You're the guys keeping, guys and gals, you're the men and women keeping our democracy alive. So,
and thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
And then Kate wrote us a long letter, which has a punchline. And I'm going to share a good chunk of it with you. It is worth listening to.
It happy reminded holidays. Me when you read it to me the first time, I'm thinking this could be a wonderful James Thurber story.
It really could.
It's kind of dark, but kind of funny.
It kind of is like one of Keith Olbermann's James Thurber stories. It is. Yeah. And Kate's a good writer. I will say that too. Happy holidays. Behold this Zappadan miracle, a manifestation of seasonal wonders. Like a novel from Dickens or Trollope, it's about an inheritance. Like a story from Raymond Chandler or P.D. James, it involves a corpse that needed identification. I'm in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A little context. My Irish grandparents came through Ellis Island and met in New York City. In 1940, they moved to Parkchester, a new planned community in the Bronx. After their 3,000-mile journey, they'd arrived. These were not a curious or dynamic people. They had a daughter, my Aunt Mary, and they had a son, my dad. Aunt Mary never left that apartment. She worked in the New York City schools as a librarian, go teachers' unions, from her 20s until she was 80. 60 years.
60 years.
So their son, Bill, was born in 1932. My dad stayed in his parents' place until he was 35. He met my mom. They had three children and a terrible 20-year marriage. They got divorced. And my dad, he passed away in 2009. And it was an ugly divorce. My dad was really mad. And my dad vilified us, meaning my mom and my siblings and I, to Mary. Over the years, she cut off all contact except harassing and taunting holiday cards she sent to my mother every year. But my mom plays the long game. Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago, she began what I called her Mary Death Watch. She knew my siblings and I would be Mary's default legal heirs if there was no will, because Mary never married, never left the apartment. Didn't have any kids, etc. She knew Mary worked in the New York public schools. She also knew that her ex-in-laws were congenitally flaky about their finances. I guarantee you there is no will, my mother said. We dismissed her. This seemed incredibly tacky. Spinster aunt, surprise inheritance, too cliched. Of course, we failed to expect Zappadan miracles. Mm-hmm. You have to expect miracles during Zappadan. You just do.
Mm-hmm.
A few days after Bummernacht, and you know, Bummernacht is the first day of Zappadan. It's the day that Frank Zappa died in early December. Bummernacht 2021, my mom called. Mary had died. Someone at her nursing home had gone through her things and gotten in touch because, alas, we were her closest relatives. I knew immediately that this was a Zappadan miracle. We had to identify the body in New York and sort through her apartment. Mary had been in a nursing home for several years, but she'd maintained her family's rent-controlled place in Parkchester. Because you don't give up a rent-controlled place in Parkchester.
No, ever. Yeah.
She had saved everything, but there was no will. Mary went nowhere. She bought nothing. She lived in her parents' apartment her whole life. And she worked in the New York public schools for almost 60 years. She did pretty well. Mary even drew the attention of the New York Post in 2018 in one of their standard look at these public sector leeches stories. And Kate includes a clip from the New York Post mentioning that this Department of Education employee, Mary, had the second biggest pension in the city of New York. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary did spend a lot of money on one thing. And here's the punchline. Yeah. She donated to conservative organizations. The American Family Association, Freedom Watch, National Right to Life. We found the receipts in her apartment, the thank you notes, the tchotchkes they send. I wonder if she got any books from like Don Jr. or whatever.
Tote bags, baby.
Tote bags, you know, but yeah.
Tote bags.
From Freedom Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, this first-generation American, retired public sector employee on Medicare, living in a rent-controlled New York City apartment, was a MAGA Republican. Yeah. And then Kate switches gears. The professional left has meant so much to us during the last 13 years of anxiety, frustration, fatigue, fear, disillusionment, anger, shock, and black comedy. You've helped us make sense of it all, especially the insidious both sides stuff, which you hammered on for a decade before anyone else. You've given us Dumpster Fire, The Razor in the Apple, the people pushing cinder blocks off overpasses into traffic, literate analogies like the Mask of the Red Death. This is all you, Driftglass. Yeah. The Gift of Remembering, and so much more. You shared your marriage, kids, and lives with us, too. As soon as we knew we'd be receiving Mary's inheritance, we decided we need to share some of this with DG and BG. It's a sad story with a redemptive arc. One that maybe we can bend just a little with generosity and joy. So please accept this Zapadan gift in the miraculous spirit of the season, Kate. And Kate, we were really touched by your letter and your donation. And
we
thank
were.
You. And we believe me, when we spend your donation on health insurance, we will be sure to remember Mary.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, the story is awesome.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's, you know, when we get postcards from people, we get solstice cards from people, mm-hmm. all kinds of correspondence. We do not shake the envelope and wonder, is there a check in here?
No, we don't.
But we do read them all. And,
sure.
And do we get these wonderful stories and wonderful thank yous and wonderful feeling of community. It really does. This is the literal darkest day of the year right now.
Yep, it is.
And it just makes us feel warm and happy and like we're part of a much bigger extended family than the three kids who deserted us during the holidays.
Honestly.
To go off on adventures of their own.
Yes,
and that there
do.
Might be a future. There might be a future for these kids. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway,
everyone who has sent us money this year, you guys make this show possible.
You do.
We couldn't do it without your donation. So mm-hmm. thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time to talk about the news, Driftglass. This week, it was all lawsuits all the time.
Yeah.
The cable news legal expert full employment program. But what about the pundits that aren't lawyers, Driftglass? Don't they get to talk too?
What about them? I mean, they're on the bench and on the clock and on the payroll. So you got to give them something
to do,
right? You
got to give them some airtime. And don't worry, they were on hand. There was an awful lot of talk about, and this reminds me so much of your Cokie Roberts joke, but the Democrats.
Both
this
the Democrats.
The vibes of it all. This might hurt Democrats.
Sure. It's bad.
Picking
bad
Trump off the ballot might hurt Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
There are bad vibes about this. What about the vibes?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Dowd and Jonathan Chait, the Colorado verdict feels this way rather than the actual legality of what the Constitution says and the fact that Trump's behavior matches what the Constitution dictates about mm-hmm. whether you are eligible to be president of the United States or not.
The plain text reading of an amendment written after the Civil War to make sure people who ran insurrections or part of insurrections could not be part of the government without a absolution by 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate.
Right.
It's all right there, plain as day, to quote Willy Wonka, black and white. There's no ambiguity about it.
Right. And Hal Sparks said, made that point, that Trump does have a remedy.
Yes.
It's not like they just
right
cut
there.
Him off and said, you never get to be on the ballot and goodbye forever.
No.
He can convince 60 senators and 2/3 of the House to let him on the ballot, and then he can be on the ballot.
Absolutely. And he should get right on that.
Because, right.
Yeah. He's got all the lawyers in on the East Coast working for him, so
right,
why not?
Right, right.
But that wasn't the general consensus among the pundits. The pundits were very worried most of them, I'd say upwards of 90% of them, were very worried this would consolidate. This was a gift. This will consolidate opposition, and his base will feel energized. And I keep telling myself, 110% isn't a real thing. You know, it's you. They're already consolidated. They're already galvanized.
They are galvanized.
That's
yes.
why he's kicking everyone else's ass in the primaries by 40 yeah. points. It's not yeah. that he lacks enthusiasm among the morons, and every one of those people that he knocks off, those voters will go to him.
Yeah,
they were never yeah. ever going to go to anybody else.
Right.
So the idea that somehow this is going to make them even angrier and crazier. Okay. Well, you know, that's fine. That's on them. But they have agency. They have responsibility.
Do we.
Yes. Either they are children and not responsible for anything, in which case they should not be voting because children can't vote. It's in the Constitution. Or they are responsible for their own fucking actions. And Matthew Dowd and Jonathan Chait and all the rest of you can go take a flying fuck at a rolling donut because it's not our fault that they're crazy. It's not our fault that they feel energized because their guy's a criminal. So let's talk about lawsuits, shall we? Let's talk about Bush v. Gore.
No, Drift Class. Judges don't select presidents. Voters select presidents.
I've heard it 1,000 times
today.
Heard
it 1,000 times yesterday. Yes.
Judges, what are you doing getting judges involved in a lecture? Okay, let's talk about Bush v. Gore.
Yeah.
I mean, the optics of Bush v. Gore are so bad for Republicans. Mm-hmm,
they are.
They're so bad. You know, this is going to galvanize Democrats and make Democrats come out in record numbers. I don't know. It's going to screw up the Republican Party forever and ever. The Bush v. Gore vibes are so bad, Blue Gal. Honestly. The decision, Bush v. Gore, is a gift to Al Gore and the Democrats, mm-hmm. really. A mm-hmm. total gift. I'm not sure Republicans realize how completely off the deep end they've gone, how far on the limb they've gone. They're cutting it off behind them. Bush will be lucky to last one term, really, honestly. I mean, you know, he might very well be impeached. And you know what? Democrats would be right to do it because this was a hinky thing where judges got in their noses in places they don't belong. And I'm just very upset about it. And I'm sure, you know, in
it'll
future
be overturned. Yeah. Well, by some court higher than the Supreme Court somewhere.
And yeah, the one you can appeal to above the Supreme Court.
Yeah, right.
That'd be the Lord. And and honestly, I'm sure this will go down as the worst decision this conservative Supreme Court will ever make. They will learn their lesson. They will learn their lesson from this terrible decision. And they'll pull back on these. They'll be, you know, like unlimited campaign contributions.
They'll be chastened. Yeah. Chastened. Yes.
Okay. You know, in the words of Susan Collins, that bold maverick from the American Northeast, I'm sure they've learned their lesson.
They've learned their lesson. Oh,
they're not going to let
some. All right. Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. To
the Rudy verdict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really caught the media's attention because it had a dollar amount attached to it.
Yes, it did.
Ooh. And when you have something to report that's $148 million, the media is going to step up and take notice because they like dollar signs.
Money and sex.
They like to talk about money. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Friday night, Friday afternoon, late afternoon, the Rudy verdict comes down and we turned on the TV. And first of all, we usually turn to MSNBC first, but first we turned to CNN.
Mm-hmm.
And CNN had the Rudy verdict on. And everybody was talking about it. And the Chyron said Rudy verdict. And then we changed to MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the Rudy verdict. And the Chyron said Rudy verdict and $148,000. And
$148 million.
$48 million, excuse me, $148 million. And
this was the live press conference in front of the courthouse.
Right.
Where both of the now victorious Georgia election workers were holding a press conference.
We're giving sermons, right, about Jesus and faith in God and carrying through and courage.
And there were a couple of assholes behind them trying to sneak in.
Right.
And they were being body blocked by large people with
security people.
Stepping in front of them. Anyway, it was not like it took 30 seconds. There was plenty of time to cut away.
And we're watching Rudy Freeman and Shay Moss,
yeah,
speak in front of the microphones. Mm-hmm. Then we turned to Fox News. Jesse Waters was concerned that liberal elected officials would be sworn into office on what he called porn books.
Yeah, that's right.
That was what he was covering.
Breaking story. Uh-huh.
And in primetime, it was exactly the same. It was CNN Rudy verdict, MSNBC Rudy verdict, Fox News. Oh My God, Jill Biden's Commie Christmas with Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
Laura Ingraham interviewing Stephen Miller about black tap dancing in the White House, playing the Nutcracker in the Christmas White House Christmas video, and how Marxist it is.
Well, and everyone knows the Nutcracker is not actually dance related in any way. As a performance.
It's not a ballet. No.
Neither is like, Charlie Brown Christmas. There's no dancing or music or celebratory or joyful expressions in that. And so Christmas, as we know from the bloody tampon White House years.
Yeah, right.
Of
bloody
Melania
tampon
Trump.
Christmas trees. Melania Trump ad. Yes.
Christmas is supposed to be as grim and dour and hateful as Stephen Miller.
And high fashion.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Stephen Miller is not. Stephen Miller
and no
is
children and nothing for children.
Right. It's just supposed to be adults scowling at each other across.
And catwalking down the aisle in a designer coat. Yes, that's what you should be
doing.
That's
Christmas. Everyone knows that's Christmas. Jesus did
Whereas
that.
Jill Biden's Marxist Christmas trees were child-themed and toy-themed. And had black people dancing around them, which makes it Marxist.
Right.
According to Stephen Miller.
Everyone knows this. Did you listen to the taps? It was like Morse code, tapping out communist directives.
Commie. All right. Yeah. And then we switched over just for a minute to read the Chyron on Newsmax. Biden ordering huge changes to the laws regarding our invasion, Mexican invasion of America.
Open the borders. Right.
Border law is going to be erased by the Biden administration.
Yep.
Huge changes to immigration law from Biden is the Chyron. And video, and we don't know whether the video is from this year or 2019 or whatever. All the video and photos that I've seen with people screaming about, you know, the invasion always have a border security agent there processing them.
Yes, they were being processed.
So
Does the situation on America's southern border, is it problematic and need fixing? Yes, it does. You know who would like to fix it very much? Democrats would like to fix it very much. You know who's stopping Democrats from making any progress, any rational progress?
Well, what will they talk about when Rudy gets indicted or fined?
Right.
They need to have something they can go do to scare their population, their viewers. And if we fix immigration...
There's nothing more to say. And that's why they don't want to fix the border. They are not interested in fixing what's wrong with the border.
It's just like everything else. It's content for their media companies.
Well,
that's
and they know what will happen. If the border gets fixed, it's like abortion in that they finally get what they want. And then, holy shit, what do we do now? This is not the world we actually want to live in. We just want to bitch about Democrats.
Right, right. Well, they're already going to get that world where they're sitting in a nursing home in their shitty diaper. And no one's there, no trained, well-paid, caring person with skills in elder care is there to take care of them. I do not consider working in a nursing home to be an unskilled job.
No, at all.
But I do consider it to be a job that a lot of people, particularly women of color, who are first generation or newly moving to this country, might use to make enough money to put their kids in college.
Right.
And if they're not let in because you're a racist and a bigot to bring their skills to this country where their work is needed, their skills are needed, screw you.
My brother is a chef at one such place.
Yes, he is.
Do you know how fast that place would fall apart without the Habtecs and the other people who were in charge of wiping their asses and getting them to meals
them
to them
clean and fed.
And when COVID hits or when Noro hits, bringing the food to their room, making sure they're eating, making sure their meds are being taken. That is skilled labor.
Yep.
And if you want to cut off this supply of hardworking people who cross deserts and brave
show up every day
guns to come to this country, you really think
like
they're here for the welfare?
Other immigrant who's come to this country with the hope for a better life.
Yeah, they're not here for the welfare. They
no.
They're tougher than that. They're tougher than you, Jesse Waters, by order of magnitude. Anyway, but the reason the verdict, the Rudy verdict caught everyone's attention was because
Oh, they can't. Well, the reason they can't talk about it on Fox is because Rudy was pushing a data point that they rely on.
That's right.
That black liberal women stole this election and I have proof.
That's right.
And so if they say, look what happened, he was proven to be a liar. And Eric Erickson, did you see Eric Erickson this week?
I have.
He went off on his podcast saying, look, the reason Rudy lost is because he lied. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the response was, you're a rhino.
And then he got back on the insurrectionists or hostages, you know.
Yeah,
Eric Erickson is...
Well, he's trying to save his career with the truthers.
Right.
And, truth social people. But you can't play that on both sides of the stream. You've got to be all in with their propaganda.
We saw what happened to Karl Rove when he, you know, predicted, promised a landslide for Mitt Romney.
Yep.
And didn't deliver. And then he's dead to me. But much larger, because it's not Mitt Romney, it's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's Rudy swearing.
And the cult didn't start with Trump.
No.
The cult did not start with Trump.
No, but this is Rudy swearing that you were cheated. They stole the election. I have proof.
Yep.
And now he's going to have to lose everything he owns.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the guy in diapers in a nursing home waiting for somebody to wipe his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can keep right on waiting there, Rudy, because there's no suffering on this earth that I think you haven't earned.
Absolutely.
In spades. Now, speaking of lawsuits, because that's all this week was. It was lawsuits and it was settlements and it was more lawsuits. Every normal human being, baseline human being, agrees that Clarence Thomas has no fucking business hearing the Colorado versus Trump case at the Supreme Court level, because his wife is deeply involved with the conspiracy to overthrow the government. So, right. You know, it's that, again, clear as day, black and white. You couldn't be clearer. Clarence Thomas has no fucking business hearing that case. And everyone agrees that Clarence Thomas has no intention of recusing himself because Clarence Thomas is a corrupt douchebag. And he's also corrupt for entirely different reasons, like he is a wholly owned and operated creature of wealthy billionaires who buy him mobile homes and pay for college and da-da-da-da-da. So he's corrupt on many, many levels. He's a rotten human being, and he absolutely shouldn't be touching this with a barge pole. But here's the problem. There is no enforcement mechanism on this earth that will get Clarence Thomas off the court, make him recuse himself. And you remember Judge Luttig from the J6 hearing? He's been making the rounds again because this is his area of expertise. And he said, look, no matter, basically, I'm not quoting him, but I'm sort of quoting him by intention. No matter how the Supreme Court, no matter what you think of them, and in my opinion, no matter how corrupt they are, how completely corrupted they are, no matter how many justices got on that court by lying, knowingly committing perjury to get on the Supreme Court, they're appointed for life. And whatever they say, that's it. That we're done. And there is no mechanism out there in the world right now to undo the damage this court is inflicting on this country. And by extension, the Republican Party and Judicial Watch and the Federalist Society and all the shit ton of money they have, there's no mechanism currently in place that can undo the damage these people are doing. Because no matter what you and I do, no matter what Joe Biden does and a Democratic Congress can do, they can undo it with a snap of their fingers. And that is a long-term problem for which there's no viable solution other than get Democrats in office as many as you can for as long as you can and keep them there as long as you can. And hopefully these people will retire or die off.
And don't let a Republican in the White House again, because they appoint Republicans. There's got to be some conversations going on over at the Heritage Foundation.
About what?
As far as, well, Do you side with Trump and hope for more judges, or do you say if Trump is elected, he's going to be impeached again, and there's going to be more Democrats in Congress and in the Senate, and then you're going to have investigations into Clarence Thomas, and then you're going to have investigations into the finances of other Supreme Court justices, and that's going to mess up our whole plan. So we'd rather if I'm sitting there as in Team Evil, I would say Biden for 4 more years and hope everybody that we've planted in the court is able to lay low and deliver with what we want, for particularly in terms of polluters and taxes, and stave off a wealth tax. because nobody wants that at the Heritage Foundation.
Well, let me pose you a slight
It's not the Heritage. I'm sorry, it's not the Heritage Foundation, is it?
The Federalist Society.
Federalist Society. Yeah. That's the one I mean.
They're all the same goddamn thing.
I know they are. They're all the same. But
they're all funded by the same monsters.
No, but we've got nitpickers in our audience who are going to write to me and say, "You meant the Federalist Society."
Yes, we did mean the Federalist Society.
Yes, we did.
So, now, but here's what I do wonder. And the last 20 years or so kind of bears this out. Maybe, I don't know, I might be wrong, which is they've gotten to the point where they don't really care. Yeah. I mean, so what? You get a slight majority in the Senate and you investigate us. So what? Fuck you. You know, you investigated
Trump.
Well,
if you pass a wealth tax and you've impeached Clarence Thomas, which...
No, but they're not going to do that. You need a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate.
And what if you get a majority in the House and a majority in the Senate in 2024?
Then game over. That's what I mean.
If Trump is reelected, you might remember what happened in 2022, mm-hmm. in 2018, 41 seats in the House in 2018.
Right. And I don't disagree, but you're talking about all these elections in 2024. The election of Trump in 2024, from my lips to God's ear, never let this happen, would not trigger a Senate win for Democrats.
Okay.
We'd still be stuck with the House. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I'm not making any predictions. My wife is making predictions, but I agree with her that many, many House seats will flow to the Democratic Party in 2024. That seems pretty good, pretty reasonable. But without a pretty solid, indestructible, undefeatable majority in both houses, nobody's getting impeached. Impeached and removed. The House can impeach everybody all day long.
Right.
The Senate has to remove them, and the Senate is not going to remove Clarence Thomas. They're just not going to do it. And so
I'm just getting back to the Federalist Society, though, because the thought has been expressed this week that the Federalist Society is the one weighing in on Trump versus Colorado.
Yes.
And have they texted what they want done to their judges?
That's a good
question. What is that?
That's a very good question.
Is it, no, we want Trump off the ballot because we would like Nikki Haley in there.
Yeah.
Because she'll appoint the judges we want and cement, you know, an 8-year reign of giving us what we want and being a normal person to the media.
Right. And the follow-up text to that is, oh, and by the way, if we push Trump aside, if we use our muscle to push him aside, which is not going to happen, he's going to win the nomination, then he'll run as an independent. And he'll take us down either way. They're in a steel cage of their own making.
They are.
I did want to mention, since we're on the subject of stuff like this, information like this, and the fact that these people just keep coming and keep having terrible opinions, I want to expand on a little detail that we picked up listening to Keith Olbermann this very morning. This morning we were listening to Keith Olbermann, and he talked about this goof named Drew Holden. And I did a little more look up on him than Keith did. Keith, you're getting a little lazy in your dotage. Maybe you could do a little more research, because the research under the research is actually pretty interesting. According to Mr. Holden's bio, he, quote, writes about the media, quote, for this third-tier fascist rag, the Washington Free Beacon. Now, here's a fun fact about the Washington Free Beacon. It was founded by Bill Kristol's idiot son-in-law, Matthew Continetti. And its managing editor is a guy named Sonny Bunch, who also works for the Bulwark. And the Free Beacon's current editor-in-chief is Ileana Johnson. Now, why is that name familiar? Oh, yeah, she used to be Sean Hannity's producer on Fox News. Isn't that nice? And then she was hired by America's oldest journal of white supremacy, the National Review, and then on to Politico. And now, finally, she's running the joint over at the Washington Free Beacon. And this Drew Holden fellow works for her. And according to his bio, and this is where it gets funny, he has also been seen, I don't know what that means by being seen, but he's been seen in the New York Times, the National Review, the Washington Post, Fox News, and the Federalist. Not the Federalist Society, but the crappy Federalist online magazine that employs the worst human beings in the world. So you see, honey, it's not Washington Free Beacon and the Federalist. It's Washington Free Beacon and the Federalist and National Review and New York Times and Washington Post and Politico and the Bulwark.
Because, and Fox News.
And Fox News. It's an entire ecosystem, which when you wonder why you're not hearing more liberal voices in the media, this is the media. They're all together. This is large, incestuous swamp. So Mr. Holden also calls himself in his bio the keeper of receipts, which is hilarious when you consider the following. Just 2 days ago, when referring to the Colorado Supreme Court banning Trump from the state's ballot under the Constitution's insurrection clause, Mr. Holden said this: in case you were wondering why Dems and the media keep calling January 6th an insurrection, it was to make this possible. Unquote. Well, that's pretty damning, right? That's what Democrats have been conspiring to do. Turn this, you know, this little tourism trip through the Capitol into something called an insurrection so that 2.5 or 3 years later, we could keep Trump off the ballot. That's how masterful we are at our planning, Blue Gal. You know this. Democrats are geniuses at these long-term complicated conspiracies that always work out just great. However, you know who disagrees with 2023 Drew Holden? 2021 Drew Holden disagrees with 2023 Drew Holden, who said on Twitter in January of 21, same guy, quote, "What matters is that the president of the United States, a man of our political party, conservatives, has given cover to a collective action that could only be called insurrection." If your thoughts and priorities are elsewhere tonight, you should look inward and quickly end. And that's the end quote. But I'd like to take this a little bit further and talk about what Keith Olbermann actually said after he went through all this stuff in much less depth than we did, by the way, because we're just that professional. This is what Keith Olbermann said. Now, see if this rings a familiar bell. If you've been listening to the podcast for 2 months or 2 years or 13 years, see if this sounds really familiar to you.
Does this sound familiar to you if you've read Drift Class's blog ever?
Yeah, for any point in the last 19, going on 19 years. Quote, "This is the way they think, or more accurately, the way they do not think. They do not even remember their world before they enslaved themselves to baby Hitler. And loyalty requires the denial of not just all other realities, but of refusing to take the arguments of others or the arguments of themselves in the past as sincere but mistaken. There is only obeyance. There's only servitude. Their only mission to serve, pardon me, they're on a mission to serve Trump and install totalitarianism on his behalf. And here's the key part: no logic, nor persuasion, nor law, nor what they said last week will stop them," unquote. Yeah, this is why we do a podcast called No Fair Remembering Stuff, Blue Gal, because this is what we've been saying and what I put out on social media earlier this week, which is, I don't think some of my liberal allies and brothers and sisters really understand the implication of the Republican base being truly reprogrammable, like your computer is reprogrammable. I mean, in the sense of, take your gaming PC that you play Fortnite on, wipe it completely, put on a completely different OS, install Microsoft Office, and then try to play Fortnite on it again. Your computer won't know what the hell you're talking about because you wiped its memory. It's gone. It has no reference to that thing that you're referring to and will look at you like you're insane. There's no Fortnite here. What are you talking about? That is the Republican brain. They have trained themselves. They have been trained and reinforced by Fox News and hate radio, on and on and on, to do this automatically. Whenever something becomes inconvenient, goes down the memory hole. Whenever they need it again, comes right back up. And if you want to know how the whole process works in greater detail, read a book called 1984 by George Orwell, because he explains it all as doublethink in great detail. I didn't invent this, but liberals like me noticed this 30 years ago. And we were really concerned that this is the direction the GOP was headed. And here we are today, and the whole party is this way.
You and I did a 2023 year in review, speaking of memory holes. Our No Fair Remembering Stuff on Tuesday was about the stories that we think will be down the memory hole from this year.
In about 5 minutes.
That people will completely forget. And I had forgotten that, and I went and researched this today, because one of the things we talked about was Ron DeSantis. I had forgotten that, and we didn't mention this on the show, Ron DeSantis's book that he was promoting before he announced he was running for president, because you have to write a book before that's everybody does that. You have to write a book and go on book tour. But his book talks at length about how bad Disney is and that he used the government to punish Disney for being woke. And now with Disney suing Ron DeSantis for violating their First Amendment rights, Disney is entering his book into court as evidence that he did the thing he said he did in his book.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just talking to the meatheads to make them happy.
Right. You can't hold me responsible. And you remember, this is stuff that Newt Gingrich did.
Yeah.
Literally. Newt Gingrich said, basically, if you quote me verbatim about what I said yesterday about Republican social engineering, I'll deny it. You're lying.
You're lying.
Mitt Romney did this. During a debate, Mitt Romney, between the hardback version of his book and the paperback version of his book, he deleted portions about Romney Care.
Yeah.
Because it was very inconveniently identical to ACA. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And when asked during a debate, he said, oh, I never wrote that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
David Brooks did this in my presence from the pulpit of the Hammerschmidt Auditorium Chapel, where he just lied about what he'd written about during the Iraq War and moved on. They do this shit all the time because there's nobody holding them accountable. Anyway.
And the reason everybody supports this podcast with a donation is because Driftglass just said all of that with no notes.
That's right.
All right. That's an encyclopedic mind right there. All right. So Media Matters had their end of the year post this week. And their fail of the year went to Legacy Media. And they provided chart after chart of the minutes per story that CNN, MSNBC, and Fox do. How many minutes did CNN devote to Trump's use of the word vermin? How much did MSNBC devote to that speech? And Fox, of course, is less than 0.1 minutes.
Yeah.
Devoted to anything Trump is saying today. Fox will literally show video of Trump walking onto a rally stage, waving and putting his thumb up, and voice over and have their people talking over what Trump is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want their audience to know what Trump is saying.
Right.
And so that vermin, that Hitler talk, unless they're watching OAN or RSBN and watching the entire speech live, Fox viewers aren't hearing what Trump is saying.
Any of this stuff. Any of this stuff. Right.
There's very little mention on Fox of Rudy Giuliani's verdict. But here's the deal. Media Matters also points out that all of the cable networks talk about Biden's age three times as much or more than Trump's age.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that all very helpful. I would like to add to what Media Matters said and talk about the other things that no one else is talking about. And I'm going to jump on my WinRed horse for 1 minute. Because WinRed is taking almost 5% of every donation, not just Trump donations, not just Senate donations, House donations. Anyone who is running at the national level for office as a Republican has to use WinRed. That is an RNC rule.
Mm-hmm.
And WinRed's taking 5%, almost 5% of every donation off the top and spending it no one knows where. And there is no transparency. There is no accountability because they're a private company.
For-profit private company.
Even though they're doing election work and election fundraising, no one knows where that money's going. And they do their financials, it's as if that money isn't there. No one is talking about what happened to the cyber ninjas. What happened to all of that so-called data that the cyber ninjas were supposed to come up with?
That's right. All that data they were harvesting, they were right on the verge of proving everything.
Now, there was an independent news organization in Arizona that sued to get the data, whatever data they could, out of the cyber ninjas. And the Arizona Supreme Court ordered that the Senate, the state Senate of Arizona, in other words, the taxpayers of Arizona,
who hired those idiots had to pay
that news organization's legal fees, because the news organization was entitled to transparency regarding elections, was entitled to the election data, and the cyber ninjas crap was election data and was under sunshine laws. They were entitled to it. They shouldn't have had to sue to get it. And little under $200,000 went to that organization from the taxpayers, not out of the pockets of Republicans in the state house.
And the cyber ninjas should all be in prison now.
They should be in prison.
They got off very
light. This was fraud. They defrauded the state Senate. They defrauded
millions of dollars.
They defrauded Republicans.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
And we're the ones that are mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad about it. And finally, and I know that I did do research on this today, and I know people did cover it. New York Times covered it. Washington Post covered the trials of the Oath Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
But no one is talking about the fact, when we're talking about is Trump an insurrectionist or not, that Trump invited the Oath Keepers to Washington on January 6th.
He did.
Very specifically. Mm-hmm. The Oath Keepers went to big boy jail for a long time for seditious conspiracy.
Yeah, and the Oath Keepers, just to refresh your memory, if you don't need to do this probably, are the brown shirts of Donald Trump. They are the
They
are the armed thugs called out.
And many of them were ex-military.
Yeah. Yep.
No one is talking about the fact that they were hosted in D.C. by Roger Stone. And the relationship there was Roger Stone was having them in his hotel. And at the same time, they were providing security to Roger Stone and surrounding him on the sidewalk outside the hotel. And there's a New York Times article said that's entitled, "First They Guarded Roger Stone, Then They Joined the Capitol Attack." And there are two photos, one with them surrounding Roger Stone and then arrows to the later that day when those same people are at the insurrection at the Capitol.
Marching
in ranger file formation up the steps to the Capitol and entering the Capitol. And there are all these arrows saying, see this guy standing next to Roger Stone? That's him in the rotunda. And so you have a track of where they were in the morning and then in the afternoon.
Maybe that's why Mike Johnson wants to blur their faces out.
Maybe that's why Mike Johnson wants to blur all the faces. Roger Stone was at that TPUSA fest.
Mm-hmm.
His title is political icon.
Yeah.
And why he's still walking free is because Trump pardoned him.
You know what the word
commuted
iconoclast
his sentence.
Means? You know what an iconoclast is, Blue Gal?
I do. Original?
Yeah, it is the smasher of icons. So
icons, yes. Mm-hmm. So where are Donald Trump's texts to Roger Stone or Roger Stone's texts to Donald Trump on January 5th and January 6th?
Good question.
And where are the unsent drafts of Trump texts to Roger Stone on January 5th and January 6th? They're in Jack Smith's office, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we might hear about that over the course of the trials and so forth, depending on where things wind up. But I'm real interested in the stuff that we won't hear, because I think there's probably some conversations going on in the Department of Justice office and in Jack Smith's office about how much is necessary to convict Donald Trump and what is going to be necessary to keep quiet about so that we don't inspire one third of the Republican Party to form a new Oath Keepers. I think that's an issue.
Well, yeah. And they will easily reconstitute themselves around whenever the opportunity presents itself. However, as you and I discussed when we were preparing for this, the reason that people were free to talk about the Confederate Army and Confederate issues and Confederate collaborators.
You mean back in 1865 or the time of the 14th Amendment, right?
Because the Confederacy had been destroyed.
Yeah.
The armies had been destroyed. Their cities had been burned down.
Sherman had marched to the sea.
Yeah.
It was over.
And Robert E. Lee had surrendered at Appomattox Courthouse, and the president of the Confederacy was on the run. This war isn't over by a damn sight. These people are basically on federal hiatus from a war they still think is going on.
Right.
And they have never surrendered. They've never given an inch. They've never conceded the 2020 election.
And we still share a country with these folks.
Yes, we still do. And that's a problem.
Yep.
Finally, I did want to mention that there's a former Fox News contributor. Her name is, I think, Liz Cheney.
She's got a book out.
Yeah, she does. And she's been everywhere. She hasn't been on our podcast yet, but she's been literally everywhere else. She's been on.
She's not going to come on this.
She
doesn't want to be on my podcast. No.
She's been on, by my count, 19 different Bulwark podcasts.
Yeah.
She's been on MSNBC on continual rotation. She's been on network. She's been on the morning shows. She's been on everybody. And she decided to go back to her old stomping ground, Fox, to try to sell her book. And she went head to head with Bret Baier. She's there to deliver her gospel that Trump is a poopy head to Bret Baier, who some credulous idiots still consider a journalist, which he is not. It did not go well. Bret Baier wanted to talk about her and an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal and basically cutting her down to size. And she wanted to talk about Donald Trump. And he wanted to talk about, why aren't you being a good Republican? Weren't you a Republican? Didn't you this and didn't you that? And isn't Donald? And it was, and she pulled out of her back pocket because she did her research. But Brett, didn't you say in your book that Donald Trump isn't, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you. Now,
No, but Bret Baier did say in his book that blah, 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 the peaceful transfer of power and how dare Donald Trump interfere with that. Yes. Right. Yes.
Now, first of all, Liz Cheney is not Pete Buttigieg. Okay.
Nope.
Pete Buttigieg is very good at going in calmly and quietly and viciously with a scalpel, discussing policy and taking apart whoever's interviewing him in a very rational, cold, clinical way that makes you like the guy, even as he's taking
like
your heart out.
Right.
Look, I've just taken your heart out of your chest and it's in my hand and it's still pumping. But it's like, oh man, he's so good at explaining stuff. Liz Cheney is not that. And what I don't think Liz Cheney understands, I don't think never Trumpers really understand, because they've never been on the outside before. We've been on the outside forever. Republicans have hated us forever. Since the beginning of time, Republicans have hated liberals, and that's just who we are. That's our baseline. And they sort of hate us with a kind of consistency that is like Valentine's Day cards from that's a bad one. Christmas cards from your waste management company. You get one every year. It's nice. Yeah. You put it in the trash can where it's been tucked and you're done. But it's very consistent year in, year out. You don't know their names. You just know who they are and they're there. But they hate Liz Cheney. They hate her because she betrayed them. We didn't betray them. We're just misguided, you know, heretics and fools. But she was near power. She was at the center of power. She was there. Next, she was number three in the Republican Party. She was geared up to be, I don't know, Speaker of the House. And she stabbed them in the back. And she can never be forgiven for that until, of course, memory wipe time comes and then she'll be forgiven. But I don't think that she understands the degree to which going on Fox News to sell anything is a complete waste of her fucking time. I don't know. Maybe she'll sell 12 books. And, you know, being a Cheney, if she can chisel $12 out of somebody's pocket, that's a good day, you know? For her. But the comments about her in the articles I've read from MAGA Republicans about the blood of Iraqi citizens is on your hands. Well, A, that's true. And B, you were a fucking cheerleader for that war, weren't you, pal? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you just don't want to remember. You've been through the Bush off machine three times now. Yeah. Now you have no idea why George Bush was ever elected. So it is fascinating to me that she thought she could go on a mission to her old stomping ground and make any progress or headway whatsoever. I don't know what her intention was. I don't know why she did it. But you know what? I am glad for one.
So that she can say she was everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, am grateful to have an IED. You know, I'm grateful that Cheney penchant for vengeance and hatred.
Blood.
Blood and tearing someone's guts out happens to be pointed at Republicans at the moment. But I am under no illusions that Liz Cheney is any friend of mine, anything I believe in, anything but an enemy who happens to hate the Republican Party as much as I do at the moment. That's it.
And let's not let Bret Baier off the hook for once again pretending on Fox News that the Wall Street Journal is a wholly separate entity from the Murdoch.
It's a Murdoch.
And they do the same thing with the New York Post. It's like, oh, did you see this article in the New York Post? How interesting that even the New York Post said so and so. And it's all the same voice.
You know what? Let's do a news roundup, Blue Gal.
Well, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Six Republicans filed suit to remove Donald Trump from Colorado's ballot. MAGA freaks up the liberal conspiracy and Hunter Biden garbage to 11, because it goes to 11. While 92% of the political media wrung its hands and whined that What if this is a gift to Trump?
What if? Now, yeah. As far as I can tell, did I hear you correctly? Who filed this lawsuit, Blue Gal? I'm sorry.
Six Republicans.
Republicans?
Yeah.
You mean like Liz Cheney Republicans, right? Not real Republicans. Rhino Republicans.
MAGA Republicans. Apparently not.
The Colorado Supreme Court removed Trump from the state's 2024 presidential ballot, ruling that Trump engaged in an insurrection leading up to the riot at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Quote, a majority of the court holds that President Trump is disqualified from holding the office of president under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. That's what the decision reads. Quote, because he is disqualified, it would be a wrongful act under the election code for Colorado Secretary of State to list him as a candidate on the presidential primary ballot. Period. Full stop.
Our handsome president, Joe Biden, who is leading a party that doesn't know how to message Driftglass.
Terrible, terrible Democrats can't message.
Said there's no question that Donald Trump supported the January 6th insurrection a day after the Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Trump was disqualified from the state's 2024 ballot. Well, I think it's certainly self-evident, Biden said. You saw it all. Now, whether the 14th Amendment applies, I'll let the court make that decision. But he certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero. And he seems to be doubling down on everything.
Yeah. Joe Biden's
messaging
good at,
achieved.
Joe Biden's very good at the kind of, remember when he was laughing at Paul Ryan during
yeah.
the vice presidential?
Oh, yeah. Vote? Over Social Security and yeah. Medicare. Come on, man. Yeah.
He's good at that kind of, are you fucking stupid? I mean, yeah. really? Are you that fucking stupid you don't know? But not
like
saying
we all
that.
Watched it.
Yeah, dude, I watched it. Did you watch it? I watched it. What else could we call it? Now on the same general topic, former Ohio Republican Governor John Kasich, who apparently is now on MSNBC speed dial, so he can be reached out to whenever something needs a good both sidesing. This week, he mused aloud about how bad it would be if we started telling people they can't be on the ballot, which of course we already do all the time. If they're not 35 years old, can't be president. If they're not native-born U.S. citizens, they can't be president. If they've already served two terms as president and want to run for an office again, they can't do that again. Those are the rules we play by, and the 14th Amendment articulates one more rule. You can't be a fucking insurrectionist and run for president, run mm-hmm. for office, mm-hmm. period. Except John Kasich is, of course, a Republican, so this all is lost on him.
I do have to give one clap of a one-handed clap to Tim Miller today
uh-huh.
for pointing out that these are the same people who spent, 7 years pretending that Barack Obama wasn't eligible to be president.
Right.
Except, so spare us.
Except, you know, it's the 2021 guy versus the 2023 same guy.
Yeah. Same guy.
They just don't remember. That just doesn't matter because it happened, in the past, and stuff in the past doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Tim Miller remembered. From NBC News, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Chris Christie also all criticized the Colorado court's decision like the little whiny ass titty babies they are, arguing that judges should not play a role in the election process.
Again,
Bush v. Gore would like a word.
Again, I don't. It's funny. It's incredibly sad. I assume at least two of these people out of the four of them are lawyers. Chris Christie was a New Jersey prosecutor and governor. Mm-hmm. He fucking well knows what happened in Bush v. Gore. But he also knows the people he's talking to, the Republican base, are reprogrammable meatbags who don't know or care what happened.
Fly memories, absolutely. Yeah.
Ted Cruz, speaking of horrible people, says liberal women are unhappy and pissed off all the time because liberal men don't satisfy them in bed.
And Mrs. Cruz was unavailable for comment.
Yeah, penthouse. I never thought I'd be writing to you. But
Kellyanne Conway said this on Fox three separate times. So she's really trying to drive it into her listeners' heads.
This is fetch for her. This is
fetch.
She's trying to make this happen.
And she's a brainwasher. She's in advertising. And this is what she does. So she wants her audience of reprogrammable meatbags to know that she thinks Democrats wake up every morning and they look at the calendar on the iPhone and it says January 6th. The date never changes. And then they get into an electric vehicle and go get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't able to get into my electric vehicle and go get an abortion every day that it was January 6th during the pandemic, Driftglass.
Mm-hmm. I know. So do we have to get twice as many now? Do we have to get
I don't know if I have to triple up on daily abortions in my electric vehicle. I don't know.
Can we get a rain check or a coupon for a future abortion, maybe? I was wondering, reading that quote, whether she is so unhappy because George Conway doesn't satisfy her in bed.
Well, they got divorced, so that's no longer a thing.
Didn't satisfy her in bed. Is that a thing?
That's probably why. I also absolutely know for a fact, looking at her and knowing her relationship with her daughter, that she would not hesitate one second in driving her daughter to an abortion clinic if necessary.
Oh, no. Remember, this is, again, the exceptions are rape, incest, or my kid.
Yeah. Or me. Yes.
Or me. Yeah. Yes. No.
And we'll go to a private clinic. I know a guy. I know a person. I know a doctor. Mm-hmm. There will be no protesters outside. There's just a little brass plaque. And you get Evian water in the waiting room and a manicure and afterwards. And it'll never be spoken of again.
And then you go shopping after that.
And then you go shopping.
A little shopping. Yeah. Go home. You know, it's a weekend. Maybe it's a week.
I'm not, you know, I'm not criticizing anyone that gets an abortion. No. I'm criticizing the hypocrisy. The
grotesque hypocrisy.
Representing a party that doesn't think women are people who have bodily autonomy unless it's you.
Oh, speaking of horrible, horrible Republican women, this is a quote from Laura Ingraham. Quote, here's the truth. No trained lawyer on earth believes that Donald Trump was engaged in a serious effort to overthrow the government, unquote. Laura Ingraham doesn't believe this. None of the lawyers who are trained on earth believe this. She's lying. She knows she's lying. She lies every day. She gets paid to lie. And what that has done to her soul, I don't even want to think about. But she is just a fucking monster. They are all just monsters and they do it for money.
Trump doubled down on his racist and xenophobic comments that undocumented immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country, unquote, and rebuffed bipartisan criticism that his rhetoric echoes Hitler. I didn't read Mein Kampf, and I am not an insurrectionist, are the quotes of the week from Donald Trump.
Once again, Democrats don't know how to message. President Joe Biden condemned Trump for his repeated statements that immigrants are poisoning the blood of America, criticizing the rhetoric as parroting Adolf Hitler. The president of the United States called Donald Trump an asshole, didn't use those words, who parrots Adolf Hitler. I don't know how much clearer it has to be.
And what is the rule that you're not supposed to mention Hitler?
Godwin's law?
Godwin did an op-ed in the Washington Post saying, go ahead.
No, he's there.
Yeah.
You're cool.
It's okay. It's perfectly okay to compare Trump to Hitler. I give you permission.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed one of the harshest state immigration laws in modern U.S. history, and the ACLU said, see you in court.
Yep. After winning a $148 million defamation suit against Rudy Giuliani, two Georgia election workers sued him again. Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss want a court to permanently bar Giuliani from repeating his debunked claims and making further defamatory statements against them. After an eight-hour federal jury after an eight-person federal jury ordered Giuliani to pay the two workers $148 million in damages, Giuliani told reporters that his debunked allegations, quote, were supportable and are supportable today, adding that, quote, he was in possession of video evidence demonstrating the truth of his allegations. Giuliani, however, claimed he was unable to present the evidence of all that stuff at the trial for some weirdo reason. And they're suing him because he won't stop lying about them and defaming them.
And so now Rudy Giuliani has filed for bankruptcy in New York after he was ordered to pay up.
Mm-hmm.
This is great news. It's what accountability and justice look like.
During a Saturday campaign stop in New Hampshire, Trump baselessly claimed that Biden is a, quote, threat to democracy, and that even Vladimir Putin says Biden's, and this is a quote, politically motivated persecution of his political rival is very good for Russia because it shows the rottenness of the American political system. Trump added, quote, they're all laughing at us, unquote. Trump also called January 6 defendants hostages and praised authoritarian leaders like Viktor Orban as highly respected and Kim Jong-un as very nice, unquote.
New York federal judge Loretta Preska has ordered the release of over 150 names of people mentioned in Jeffrey Epstein lawsuit documents.
Mm-hmm. Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, took his 13-year-old daughter to a purity ball in 2015 and made her sign a pledge to abstain from dating and remaining sexually abstinent until marriage. You know what I was doing with my 13-year-old stepdaughter? I took her to a Doctor Who convention and a Dan and Phil performance, and it was awesome, and she's turned out great.
Dan and Phil. That is a trip back to yesteryear.
Oh, and it was St. Louis, and as we lined up, all the other parents were from, like, the same school.
All of her nerdy friends from the Gifted Magnet School here at Springfield had driven to St. Louis. You could have carpooled if we'd known.
Just hold a concert in Springfield. It'd be so much easier.
And Dan and Phil, when Dan and Phil turned 21 and came out as gay, none of the parents were surprised.
No.
Don't cry. Craft.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
I remember all of that. Oh, my gosh. What a trip down memory lane. Okay. A binder containing highly classified information related to Russian election interference disappeared in the final days of Trump's presidency. By the way, this happened on Friday also, and around the same time as the Rudy Giuliani decision that he should pay $148 million. This also appeared nowhere on Fox.
Boop, gone.
The disappearance of raw intelligence was so concerning to officials that the Senate Intelligence Committee was briefed about it last year because it contained details that could reveal secret sources and methods. The day before leaving office, Trump had the 10 inches thick binder brought to the White House so he could declassify most of the documents related to the FBI's Russia investigation himself. In the 2+ years since Trump left office, the government has been unable to retrieve the missing intelligence.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
Treason and espionage. Which are both capital offenses.
Yep.
Finally, a federal appeals court rejected an effort by Mark Meadows to move his Georgia election interference case from state court to federal court. Oh, no. Really?
Oh,
yes.
No. You're going to be trying Georgia.
Yeah, sorry. The devil's going to go down to Georgia. The judges found that, quote, the events giving rise to this criminal action were not related to Meadows' official duties, and that, quote, even if Meadows were an officer, his participation in the alleged conspiracy to overturn the presidential election was not related to his official duties. Criming in office is not part of the fucking job description there, Mark.
Especially when it's related to an election and not the government. And besides, you don't hold that office anymore. Sucks to be you. All right. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for all your support over the past year. We love you. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. And this week, a listener sent us a donation and then a bunch of kitties. And over the course of the next few weeks, we will show you all of these beautiful kitties. This week's internet kitty is named Veer. Veer's owner writes that Veer was a feral cat known as This effing guy. I'm supposed to say this in Drift Glass's Chicago accent.
This effing guy.
He was skinny with a big moon face, so I was calling him Moon Face, and then that immediately turned into Veer. Bonus points if you know the quote and the show, you sci-fi nerds, says the owner of Veer.
What do you want, you moon-faced assassin of joy?
That's from Babylon 5, by the way.
Oh, right? Yes. Oh, my, right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you knew it.
I did.
And of course, Veer eats freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfect. Oh, and by the way, Veer, who was a feral cat in this picture, is sitting on the desk next to the keyboard where he belongs.
Yeah.
He's moved in. He's fine. I live here now.
Yeah. Formerly feral, and now
I live here. Correct. Mm-hmm. And of course, Veer eats freshly poured cat food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured.
Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured.
And you can visit Veer at our Facebook page or website, sitting next to the keyboard where he belongs. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Please put internet kitty in the subject line. And you can also write to both of us at that address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write us. We do love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go, postal unions, especially this week. My gosh, what a week for the Postal Service.
Yeah, bless their hearts.
Bless them. We reserve the right to read your email or letter on the air unless you say otherwise.
Don't forget our gourmet coffee guidelines. If you can afford to buy a piping hot espresso-based beverage for yourself, please buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. If you can spare $5 a month, please spare $5 a month or more if you wish at patreon.com/proleftpod. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, in the spirit of the season, force someone else to listen to it as well. They'll love you for it. And thank you for doing that.
Hey, Drift Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties want to wish each and every one of you a happy Sol Invictus Day. And a reminder that we will be here next week, but we're only doing one show instead of our usual two. And here's hoping you had a wonderful Zappadan too. Happy birthday, Frank Zappa.
Happy birthday, Frank Zappa. See you next year. And happy Zappadan.
Nope,
I hope
not
everyone
next year.
Had a blessed Zappadan. No, we'll see Frank Zappa next year.
Oh, yes.
Zappadan next year.
Zappadan next year is the
Zappadan
week.
Oh. Is every year.
You know. And up and coming, I have it on good authority that there's going to be a roundup by a friend of ours who
is a
podcaster of the best of the liberal blogosphere.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Patocchio is going to be doing the best of the year.
Mm-hmm. The John Swift roundup.
And so we will be promoting that next year as well, next week as well.
Yes, we will. Love you, Blue Gal.
I love you too, Driftglass. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2023 DGBG Productions.